Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today, again, from the book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine. The revelation of the apostle, the disciple, the beloved disciple, John. I'll be beginning with the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 12, and then continuing on through the following passage, which is referenced as being chapter 13. Even though both passages go together, flow from one to the other, I will be stopping after the first passage and preaching from it, commenting on it, and then continuing on with the following passage. So beginning with the passage listed as being chapter 12, in the revelation of God the Father to God the Son, which he gave to his angel to give to his apostle John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James, the two named by the Lord Jesus Christ as Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Again, the passage being that listed as chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet and under her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, returning to the beginning of this passage and actually preceding it ever so slightly with the very last verse of the previous passage. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. The temple of God was opened in heaven. This is, of course, not speaking of the temple in Jerusalem, not speaking of a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, which is not to say that that will not take place. But rather, this is speaking directly of God's throne in heaven. The temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Here on this earth, it is so commonplace to make great to-do about the testaments of sinful, foolish, blind, ignorant, corrupt, exceeding sinful even, and even evil people. And yet, to make light or to completely away with any regard for the testament of the Lord God Almighty, the Creator God, the only God, the righteous God, and the only creative genius there has ever been. The lawgiver. Continuing through the passage listed as chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now, that's an interesting description, isn't it? There appeared a great wonder in heaven. Everything in heaven is a great wonder, right? So, for something to stand out as being a great wonder in the midst of all of that wonderment is really saying something. But this was really something. A woman clothed with the sun. Clothed with the sun. And the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This description is remarkably similar to descriptions of the Lord God Almighty himself and of his Christ Jesus. And yet this person is described, this being is described simply as a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And so often when stars are referred to here in the book of Revelation, they refer to angels. Not saying this is the case here, but that is routinely the case in the book of Revelation. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Now, when you hear the term wonder. Perhaps there's no connotation for you. Or when you hear the word wonderful, perhaps there's no connotation, no value judgment assessed to that. But for me, and perhaps for you, when I hear wonder or wonderful, I'm thinking good. Especially with wonderful, I'm thinking good. Not merely amazing, astonishing, incredible, outstanding, but good. But this is not the case with this wonder. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads, upon his seven heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Again, the stars routinely refer to angels in the book of Revelation, as is the case here. His tail, the great red dragon's tail, pulled the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. He seduced, he corrupted, he perverted 1/3 of God's angels into rebelling against God and going to war against God and his Christ, Jesus. And as a result of that, they received the same as their fearless leader, Satan, the devil, the great dragon, the old serpent. They were cast out of heaven, cast down to the earth, where they would spend the rest of their existence prior to their eternal judgment. They would spend the rest of their existence continuing to seek to destroy everything that is of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. To attempt to destroy the heavenly host, to attempt to destroy all people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who worship God in spirit and truth. To destroy the Word of God, the Church of God. To overthrow God's plans and purposes, promises and prophecies. Serving as minions to Satan, the devil. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. She was ready to be delivered of the baby in her womb. And the great red dragon, Satan, stood before her so that he might devour her son as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Oh, well, brother, that's not our Jesus. Jesus is so meek. Oh, he is so meek and love. He is love. He would never rule with a rod of iron. He is a gentleman in the most extreme sense of the word. He would never force anyone to do anything. Perish the thought that he would wield a rod of iron over the nations, over the people of the nations. Indeed. Well, Jesus the Christ, not the suffering servant, not in that period of time in which he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth, even though he continues in that capacity, but beyond that, the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She brought forth. She was described as being a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And yet Mary, young teenage virgin girl Mary, certainly doesn't seem to fit that description, does she? Oh, I know. I know the Roman Catholic Church has fictionalized her terribly, made her out to be the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven, the Goddess of Heaven, to be worshipped. Oh no, brother, we don't worship her. Roman Catholicism does. Damnably, heretically, blasphemously, deliberately, premeditatedly, and deceives the multitude, more than a billion people on the face of the earth at this point in time, into worshiping Mary, whom Jesus did everything in his power to discourage his followers from doing. Short of dishonoring her, he loved her and he honored her, but he did everything in his power to prevent her being worshipped following his crucifixion and resurrection. But to no avail, because Satan came along and worked his evil and caused the Roman Catholic institution to be abominable and to serve Satan. In point of fact, it has greatly served Satan. But she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Unto God and to his throne. Or unto God and his throne. The throne is the throne of God, but it is also the throne of Christ. And the woman fled. Fled from whom? From the dragon. From the old serpent. From the devil. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. That they should feed her there. We are not told whom they are, but they are servants of God. Well, brother, that doesn't sound like, you know, anything that we read in the Gospels, does it? No, I suppose not. But the book of Revelation is the Word of God. Would you make it out to be allegory, metaphor, poetic license, fiction? Many illustrious theologians do. Very many do. Many high and mighty doctors of the law do just that. Many Christian Sadducees who do not believe the Word of God, who do not believe in miracles, do not believe in raising the dead, in the resurrection, do not believe in the eternal kingdom of God. And yet they are high and mighty doctors of the law, Sadducees, and then others that are Pharisees. Diametrically contradict the Word of God. Not only with their words, with their preaching, with their teaching, but with their living. But the woman whom was ready to be delivered was Mary. The woman who fled into the wilderness. This may very well pertain to more than Mary. But they who were assigned the responsibility by God to do so, who were entrusted with this responsibility by God, they were to feed her there in the wilderness, in a place prepared by God for 1,203 score days. And there was war in heaven. But wait a minute. I thought the third part of the stars of heaven were already cast to the earth. I thought the devils, if you will, the demons, the minions of the devil, the fallen angels were already cast out of heaven. But here, there was war in heaven. Things are not necessarily neatly chronological in the Word of God, and certainly not in the book of Revelation. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not. The dragon and his angels, the third part of the stars of heaven, prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. It actually makes sense both ways. There here is spelled T-H-E-I-R. It is there. They had a place. But they lost it. But it also makes sense if it were T-H-E-R-E. There was not place found anymore. but it is the former. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Their place was removed from heaven. They had no place there any longer. They were exiled from heaven forever. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? And the great dragon was cast out. Not only the fallen angels, the rebellious angels, but their fearless leader, their evil leader. The father of lies, the great perverter, corrupter, seducer, the accuser of the brethren, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. With devil and Satan capitalized. The great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So again, chronologically, you know, it's like this isn't fitting exactly together. First, we have the angels that followed him in rebellion being cast out. Then, next time we are visited here, the same thing. Those angels, those fallen angels, those demons that have become demons, they are cast out. Now we have Satan cast out, and those angels, those demons are cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. But going back a verse, the great dragon was cast out of heaven. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Here on this earth, this world, the areas of the world are separated, distinguished, if you will, between various different types of regimes which rule and reign. There are the dictatorships, most egregiously, horrendously, with greatest evil effect, those of socialism, whether they be communist or fascist. So the communist Chinese regime, which rules and reigns mainland China and intends to rule and reign much more. The satellite slave state, communist North Korea, the Kim's family business, which really is satellite slave state of communist China and formerly also of the Soviet Union. And then Vladimir Putin's fascist dictatorship, Russian Federation, which rules and reigns Russia. and is hell-bent on ruling and reigning over Ukraine. Interesting. If Ukraine isn't really a nation, as that satanic pharaoh insists. Interesting that he would be so hell-bent on taking it over. But there are those regimes. Then there are all of the countries that are savaged the way that Putin's evil servants are savaging, destroying, massacring, torturing in Ukraine. There are the regimes, the Islamist regimes, that savage whole countries, and in cases where they do not enjoy total control, such as Nigeria, they still succeed in savaging the Christian population. And then there are various so-called banana republic dictatorships and so forth, and the other communist ones like Cuba and other places where they enjoy power, rule, and reign. Mindanao, Philippines, Chiapas, Mexico, formerly, and I say formerly, Venezuela, Colombia, and so forth. But, and then Belarus and other former, other nations that formerly were enslaved by the monstrous communist Soviet Union regime. But then there are the free nations, so-called. So very many of which are controlled by socialist regimes. And then dispersed across the landscape, there are more than a billion people under the influence, if you will, varying degrees of rule and reign by the Roman Catholic abomination and so on and so forth. But typically, very many enlightened people within the so-called free nations, democratic nations, Western nations, including those referred to formerly as Christendom, and at various times, Christendom is then applied to more than that, to the entire church universal and so forth. But isn't it interesting that God Almighty, in His wisdom, He states that the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, deceiveth the whole world. The whole world. Not just those people enslaved under monstrous satanic communist regimes, fascist regimes, Islamist regimes, and other totalitarian dictatorships, but the people of the whole world, the free nations, the democratic nations, they are deceived by Satan. I think it's honestly, it's a little bit too kind a way to refer to it, because After all, there are so many people upon this earth who, rather than merely being deceived, very willingly, enthusiastically, deliberately serve Satan. That's not referring to the demons, but it is referring to other minions, if you will. And then there are the dupes, and these are the ones that are deceived. They are dupes. They are deceived. They are fooled. They are corrupted. They are seduced into serving Satan. That should be a very strong deterrent to anybody trusting in democracy. If the majority of the people in the so-called democratic nations of the world are deceived by Satan, then how is one to have any confidence in the godliness, the righteousness, the truthfulness of the leadership of the regimes of the democratic nations? How? In light of God's word concerning that, only fools can. Only dupes, only ignorant people, only fools can have any confidence that the leadership of the democratic, free, so-called, socialist light, you know, moderately socialist nations are led, ruled, reigned over by godly, righteous, honorable people, or are led righteously and fairly and truly and faithfully and honorably. How can anyone who has any regard for the Word of God any fear of God, any regard for the Word of God, how can any of them trust in the leadership, the rulership of any nation on earth? There is zero basis for having any such confidence. There's every reason not to. And the times which are upon us, the times which are drawing nigh, which are so near that they are at the doors, are going to bear this out. Indeed, every single day that passes bears this out. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." They overcame Satan, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb of God. "And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." That really is key. It is rampant in Western churches, in the United States of America, most notably, but also just in, you know, in the Western nations, amongst Christian churches, leaders, pastors, teachers, it is rampant to teach that people should enjoy life to the fullest. We should be the happiest people there are. We should be the most joyful. We should be hilariously enjoying and rejoicing and dancing about and prospering, mightily prospering and enjoying great abundance of life. The abundant life, abundant living. It is very common, pervasively common, for hireling ministers, hireling theologians, hireling preachers and teachers to take scraps of Scripture and create theologies from them. Create philosophies, so-called Christian ones, from them. But God Almighty, His ways are so exceedingly different from the ways of man, of corrupt men and women who purportedly are great servants of God, great leaders in Christianity. If you go back into the Old Testament, what is the beginning of wisdom? What is it really? Is it a matter of brilliance? Is it a matter of sweetness? Is it a matter of appreciation for God? It is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And yet we have the modern contemporary Christian church that abhors the fear of the Lord. Oh, brother, we don't believe in fear. No, perfect love casteth out fear. The fear of the Lord is what? According to God, it is the beginning of godly wisdom. Absent the fear of the Lord, there is not the possibility of the tiniest modicum of a beginning of godly wisdom. None. Nada. And yet, it is pervasively common across the landscape, around the world, in the Christian church. The Christian church that is not in the heavily persecuted areas. The Western church. To reject, refuse, resist, abhor the fear of the Lord. Oh, we're beyond that, brother. We're so... We are so advanced. We're so sophisticated. Oh, we're so enlightened. We're so perfected. We're just amazing. We amaze ourselves constantly. We're just, you know, we are the Church of Philadelphia. We're going to be raptured away if there is ever a tribulation. If. Forget all the tribulation on the face of the earth at this time. Forget all the tribulation that there has been. Forget all the terrible, monstrous tribulation of the Christians, of the Christian church in Ukraine right now. The tribulation of the Christian church in Nigeria right now. Of the Christian church in communist China and in communist North Korea right now. And the list goes on. Throughout Asia, throughout Southeast Asia, Eurasia, and round the world. Round the world. Even in the Western nations, to a much lesser extent, it's much more targeted, it's much lesser, but it is coming fast. But these who overcame, these who were accused before God day and night, oh, well, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. If they're being accused day and night, they must be guilty. No. They were accused before God day and night. Satan does not limit his accusations, his accusing, to when he was in heaven. He does it here on earth. Accusing them before God day and night. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the earth. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You see, if we love our lives unto the death, and we are supposed to love our lives, no one can love us. No one can love you, sister or brother, unless you love yourself. Right? I mean, that has just pervaded Western society for how long? For decades and decades and decades and decades, that obscene Satan-breathed lie has just pervaded Christendom. It has. Churches. Those who love themselves so much, those who love their lives to the end of their lives, they will not overcome. Oh, brother, what are you talking about? They will not overcome. Those who overcome, overcome by the blood of Christ and by the word of their testimony to the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Amazing. The inhabitants of the sea? It says that. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Oh, brother, it's going to be another millennia, you know. It'll never come. It came before. We don't need to worry about that. We're beyond that, or that's so far off in the future. No. The devil, Satan, knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, you may or may not be aware, but Adolf Hitler, more than 2 years before his double was found in the bunker, one of his doubles was found in the bunker, having supposedly committed suicide. More than 2 years before that, he began an exceedingly extensive, exceedingly expensive program to enable him to escape, which he did. Through Europe and then across the ocean to South America. But he knew that he had a short time. He knew that he would fail. He would be defeated. But did that affect his behavior in any way, shape, or form? Did that cause him to consider surrender? Did that cause him to stop slaughtering the Jews? No, on the contrary. The Nazi Third Reich just increased its bloodshed, its slaughter of Jews, right up to the very end. Satan, the devil, knows that he has but a short time. Does that motivate him to repent? Give him a second chance. Give him another chance. Does that motivate him to go easy on those whom he has been persecuting, whom he has been accusing to God the Father night and day? No, just the opposite. It intensifies his passionate lust to destroy. I would even go so far as to say that Vladimir Putin's mortality and his concern about how long he has to accomplish his evil ends motivates him to do more evil, to do the present evil being done to Ukraine and intended against so many others. The devil has come down unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, does God use poetic language? Yes. Does God veil and conceal his mysteries? Yes. But to write the book of Revelation and all of the other prophecies of the great prophets of the Bible off as being allegories is utterly damnable heresy. Now, this period of time where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time is the same as that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Three and a half years, a time a year, times 2 years, and half a time, half a year. Where she is protected and cared for. From the serpent. From the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. God Almighty's wording, descriptions, not only in Revelation, not only in the book of Revelation, which was given to the beloved disciple, the apostle John, to give to the churches, and that the church might have it to teach it, to enlighten it, to forewarn it. For lo, these millennia leading to the coming of the beast. But this what is taking place? God speaks of amazing descriptions of the earth, of the trees of the earth, of the animals of the earth, responding to God. Not to be confused with the works of C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and so forth, but nonetheless, they drew so much of their fiction from the Word of God. But C.S. Lewis did after he came to believe on the Lord, after he finally was pulled away from atheism. But he sought to live his life as an atheist. Not the only one that has been that way, of course. There are other such examples out there. But God Almighty describes the earth opening her mouth, swallowing up the flood. The earth helped the woman. The earth saved the woman. Oh, brother, yes, Mother Earth. No! No! The earth is creation, created by God. It is not Mother. God forbid. But this description of this flood, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth helped the woman versus Satan. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. In Tyndale's New Testament, he refers to this flood as being like unto a river. A great mighty river. Here in the United States of America and in many parts of the world, it is common for mighty rivers, huge rivers, powerful rivers, to overflow their banks and flood large areas. Well, it's also possible that this flood is referring to something else. Could be referring to something more like a tidal wave, even a tsunami. But whatever it is, it was intended to carry away the woman, drown her, and hers. These servants of God, these people of God, and the dragon was wroth that his intentions were prevented from being fulfilled. The dragon was wroth with the woman, still fuming with hatred against the woman. Like communism, fascism, socialism, fuming, consumed with lustful hatred at Christianity and Jewry. But the evil hate the good and seek to destroy them. Satan came only to steal and to murder and to destroy and to corrupt and to pervert and utterly destroy everyone, everything that is good and of God. And what is going on in the United States of America and the Western nations against little children right now is testimony to that. And I'm not referring to induced abortion. I'm not referring to the evils of induced abortion and infanticide. I'm referring to the monstrous evils of all of this sodomite agenda, all the transgender evil targeting little children for most heinous destruction. Something only previously seen in the likes of the Nazi Third Reich and other such evil regimes. But now, so heavily promoted in the free, democratic Western nations. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The entire focus of Satan and his demons, his legions of demons, all of his forces, his minions, is focused on the destruction of the people of God that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's true whether it's communist China, North Korea, in Ukraine via Putin and his Chechenian Islamist terror squads and all of his invasion, murderous forces in which they, the Chechenian Islamists, are embedded, and in Nigeria, and throughout the world. But while it is true in Asia, East Asia, Southeast Asia, South Asia, Eurasia, Central Asia, Africa, the Middle East, It is true throughout the Western nations that Satan is hell-bent on utterly destroying the people of God, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is not the same as all of those supposed Christians that are numbered by certain polling establishments like Gallup and what have you. No, I can't think what the others are, Pew Foundation and so forth. Oh, yes, oh, well, there are 80%, 90% of the people that, that attend church sometime or other, and on it goes. No, this is concerning the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. A different thing. But you see, Satan, even as much supernatural power as Satan has, even as much foreknowledge as he has, he still operates often in something other than a very finely targeted way. And evidence of that is going back to Moses. Instead of simply waiting for the coming of Moses and striking him dead, instead of that, he focused on having Pharaoh attempt to have the midwives murder all of the baby boys. Just an incredibly clumsy scattergun approach. Terribly dull way to approach it. And so too, Germany, Nazi Germany, the Nazi Third Reich, Hitler's fascist regime. And this took place in Italy under Mussolini and so on and so forth. But instead of focusing only on those Jews who had some semblance of worship of God, no, all Jews, any Jews, any possible Jews, wherever they might be, throughout Europe. So too in Russia under the Soviet Union. All Christians, all Jews, but it was more sophisticated, focusing on certain churches, certain denominations within Christianity. But so too in communist China. And of course, North Korea, having a Bible is a death sentence for anyone. Having one in the household is a death sentence for the adults and so forth. But again, Satan, while his focus is on those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the actual application, the execution of the policy expands beyond that. They cast a wider net or a bigger tent in order not to miss any. So, it is certainly possible that a lot of fringe Christians may be included in that. And moving on with the following passage, which is referenced as being chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So returning to the beginning of this passage, referenced as being chapter 13 in the Revelation of John. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. In the previous passage, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Here, this is not in heaven. And interestingly enough, this beast rises up out of the sea. And yet we are told elsewhere in Revelation that the beast was kept in the bottomless pit until he made his appearance. He has risen, ascended, been released from the bottomless pit, and he rises up out of the sea. And like the great red dragon, this beast has seven heads and 10 horns. But instead of having 7 crowns on his 7 heads, he has 10 crowns on his 10 horns. But his heads are graced with something, aren't they? If you want to use that term, graced, the name of blasphemy. Interesting, the name of blasphemy. It's an interesting expression, the name of blasphemy. He has 10 horns and 10 crowns. We are told in the book of the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, and also in the book of the Revelation of the apostle, the disciple, the prophet John, that 10 kings shall rise. They shall rise before the beast makes his appearance. And here, a crown adorns each horn, like the 10 kings who precede him and who give their kingdoms, their power to him. And they rise immediately before him. He rises immediately after them. But they prepare the way for him, even as the way for them was prepared. The kingdoms are prepared for them, given to them. Now the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. The leopard is the description in the book of Daniel for the Grecian Empire. You may consider it the Macedonian Grecian Empire. You may think of it as the Greco-Roman Empire. It did end up, in a manner of speaking, morphing into the Roman Empire. But it is the Grecian Empire. And the last regime there shall be, which is very near to coming about, to rising up, is the last regime of, or Reich of, the Grecian Empire. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, the Grecian Empire. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. The empire of the Medes and the Persians were described as a bear in the prophecies in the book of the prophet Daniel. And that is the empire which preceded the Grecian Empire, which was overthrown by Alexander's Grecian military, led from the front by Alexander, who is described in such a way that I don't know how it could possibly be described that way unless he had supernatural power, as he is described in the book of Daniel. But his mouth, the beast's mouth, was as the mouth of a lion. The empire which preceded the empire of the Medes and the Persians, and which was overthrown by the Medes under Darius, was none other than the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire, which is described as the lion. And this beast, which rises up from the bottomless pit, which is very soon to appear, again follows the ascension of the 10 kings who shall rise simultaneously, essentially. And who shall be given kingdoms, given power, not just some, you know, ribbon cutting position, not just some VIP celebrity king, but given actual, factual, military might and power, and they shall give it to this beast. This beast does not merely resemble or epitomize or copy the Grecian Empire. He is the heir to it. He is directly descended from it. In the book of Daniel, I've mentioned this many times, it speaks of the beast overthrowing three of the 10 kings, even though the kings, seemingly all of them, submit to the beast. He subdues or overthrows or slays, kills, murders three of the kings. In the book of Revelation, there is no such mention. Instead, every mention is of the 10 kings being fully on board, right in line with the beast. But what else is notable against this beast, about this beast, concerning this beast, regarding this beast, in addition to the fact that the beast has these 10 kings serving him, who have just become kings, but who have power, which they submit to him. In addition to that, in addition to having seven heads, which are adorned with the name of blasphemy, in addition to this beast being a direct heir to the Grecian Empire, but also having the strength, the power, everything that pertains to what preceded that Grecian Empire, the empire of the Medes and the Persians, the power and riches of the Grecian Empire, of the empire of the Medes and the Persians, of the empire of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. In addition to that, if that weren't enough, and it would be, you would think, Satan, the devil, the great dragon, the old serpent, gave the beast his power and his seat and great authority. This beast, his kingdom, his empire, its seat, its capital, is given to the beast by Satan, the dragon, along with enormous power, great authority, Authority, what is that? You know, it's different from power, isn't it? Legitimacy. Respect. Admiration. Position, prestige, fame, fortune. All wrapped together with enormous power. Legitimacy. This is something that Satan has been conspiring to provide to the Sodomites, to the Sodomite agenda for decade upon decade upon decade. As he did to the directly related tentacles of the induced abortion agenda, of the infanticide agenda. And here, the sexual perversion and utter destruction of children and young people, the legitimacy of that. The evils that have been done have not been possible previously until Satan succeeded in establishing legitimacy for these evils in the Western so-called Christian nations. And they have been able to do these evils now for the past something like dozen years. It's unimaginably evil. Oh, brother, there's plenty of time left. There is not. Times have never been so evil, never been so abominable. And you could say, you could rightly say, that so much of the evil, so much, monstrous, unspeakable evil is focused, is targeted, is headquartered in the West. Not in the East, but in the West. And I saw one of the beast's heads, one of the seven heads of the beast, as it were wounded to death. There was resistance to the beast. And his deadly wound was healed. His deadly wound was healed. One of his heads was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All the world wondered after the beast. All the world worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and worshipped the beast. All the peoples of the world. Oh, in democracy we trust. You know, yes, oh, the multitudes, the majority, they will figure it out. And they will permit the perverse, evil, satanic, vicious, ruthless minority, extreme minority, to destroy all of the good. But here, interestingly enough, we have all the peoples of the world all. Worshiping Satan, the devil, the great dragon, the old serpent which gave power unto the beast, unto this last stage, last regime of the Grecian regime. And all the peoples of the world, they worshiped Satan, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Resistance is futile. Better red than dead. And there was given unto the beast a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months. The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. To the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. But and he opened his mouth. The beast opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, brother, we don't need to worry about that. You know, when, if, and, or when, if and or when, such terrible times come, we will be raptured away. Because we're so special, we're so perfect, we're so deserving. We will be raptured away. Not the Christians in Nigeria, not the Christians in Sudan, a couple million plus, not the Christians throughout the Middle East, not the Christians in Central Asia, not the Christians in your Asia, not the Christians in the Far East, Asia, Northeast, East, Southeast, South. But we will be raptured away. And the saints, well, the saints, those are, you know, those are not believers. Those are something else, really. Really? Oh, that is wonderful theology. Where did you get that from? The saints are the elect. Specifically, exclusively the elect. It's not just those who should be the elect. It is the elect. And interestingly enough, there are elect on the face of the earth when this monstrous evil regime takes over, takes power, and takes over the earth. And it was given unto the beast to make war with the saints. And to overcome them. To destroy them. To murder them. But while he was able to overcome them physically, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Will such be said about these faux Christians who are going to be raptured away? They're just going to, you know, be raptured away. When the going gets tough, we will get going away. We will fly away. We will be raptured away. Was given unto the beast to make war with the saints. It doesn't say the sinners. It doesn't say the atheists, the agnostics. It doesn't say the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Confucianists, the Taoists, the Jainists, the cultists, anything else. The saints, not those that have, you know, that handful of special VIPs that has been canonized by the Roman Catholic abomination so that they may be worshipped and prayed to. No. The saints. It was given unto the beast to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Why? Why would God permit this unspeakably evil leader of this unspeakably evil regime to destroy his people? It may not fit with your theology. It may not agree with the Christian philosophies that you may have accepted. But it's the truth of God. Regardless how unpleasant it is, how horrific it is the truth of God. It is the Word of God. It is not some pet interpretation, misinterpretation, corruption, and prostitution of the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And power was given unto the beast over all kindreds and tongues and nations and all people that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All people that do not fear God and worship God in spirit and truth. All people whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. the only people on the face of the earth who will not worship the beast are those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, brother, there aren't going to be any Christians. Well, then why does it say what it says? Why doesn't it just say all people that dwell upon the earth shall worship him? Full stop. Period. End. Right? Because after all people on the face of the earth, according to this pet pastor, this megachurch pastor, that great theologian, and that one, and this great Christian leader, and that great Christian teacher, all people on the face of the earth at the time of this horrendous tribulation, this world-enslaving tribulation, all people on the face of the earth will be non-Christians, right? Not so. I know it's unpleasant to imagine that all of that rapture nonsense is nonsense. I know that all of that pre-tribulation rapture teaching is a lie, is error, is heresy. But wait a minute. Are you saying none shall be raptured? No, there may be. There may well be some minority that is. But if you're trusting that you are in that minority, then you're engaging in wishful thinking. Because God's word explicitly states that elect, saints, people whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, shall be on the earth when Satan takes over with the beast and the other beast, the false prophet, and the ten kings. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. That's the way it will be. And it was given unto the beast to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell upon the earth except for those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world shall worship him. It takes really dedicated effort to corrupt and pervert the word of God to make that mean anything else other than what it says. And yet, divinity schools from one end of the earth to the other, theological seminaries from one part of the earth to another, illustrious theologians and lowly ones, high and mighty megachurch pastors and pastors of tiny churches, the Roman Catholic abomination and myriad apostate profane denominations, and some of the best and strongest and soundest denominations teach diametrically contrary to the Word of God. If any man have an ear, let him hear. That is just such a funny expression, isn't it? Such a funny wording. If any man have an ear. Well, brother, it looks like you've got a pair of ears there. Well, if any man is willing to hear. Are you open-minded, brother? Oh, I'm so open-minded. I'm open-minded to everything except what the Bible says. You know, I'm open to everything else. When you find the truth, hold on to it. It's interesting. There's so many people that insist on holding on to lies, corruptions, perversions of truth. But very few hold on to the truth of God. Narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, which leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be which enter therein. But broad is the way, wide is the gate, which leadeth unto eternal destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Oh, well, brother, I go to church, and therefore, no. That's not good enough. That won't cut it. Even if you're a church mouse and you're there all the time, that doesn't mean you're going to inherit eternal life in and of itself. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Oh, well, that means we're not supposed to try to defend one another. We're not supposed to try to defend our families and loved ones. We're not supposed to try to defend the women folk in our families. We're not supposed to try to defend our families and loved ones, our children, our little ones, our babies, because that would be wrong, brother. No, it would be wrong not to. It has been right of Ukraine's defenders to do everything in their power to save the Ukraine people from this monstrous, damnable, evil, total war, savage invasion from the barbaric Russian invasion forces. It has been utterly damnable of the Western powers to fail to oppose it. Oh, but brother, we've been doing this, that, and the other. No! The Western nations have permitted it. The Western powers, the Western nuclear-armed powers have permitted it, hoping that monstrous, evil Russian regime leader will be satisfied with merely destroying and enslaving Ukraine. Just as the enlightened Western leaders did in the early days of World War II regarding Adolf Hitler. But here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Of the saints. The saints again. Oh, well, brother, those aren't the elect. Really? Well, who are they? Such blindness. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Oh, he must be a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. You know, this is reminiscent to me of those seers and sorcerers and what have you, magicians in Egypt, who were instructed to do the same things, the same miracles that Moses and Aaron did. And they were able to, up to a point, but only up to a point. There was a hard line limit to what they could do. They had power. They did have supernatural power. But there was a limit. So too here. As it's shown in the very next thing, which is very interesting. So this second beast, this false prophet, which deceived them that dwelled on the earth, even as the first beast has been doing. They are a tag team. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Said to them that dwelt on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. He commanded them, directed them, instructed them, led them to make an image to the beast. The beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. To make an image. Why is it? You know, this false prophet, he has supernatural power. The beast has supernatural power. Satan has supernatural power. But interestingly enough, they have the people, the sinful people, presumably without supernatural power. He has them make an image to the beast. An image which was only possible, only made possible by the latest and greatest high-tech artificial intelligence, supercomputing, machine languages, all of the advanced engineering. They made an image to the beast. And after they had fashioned this amazing image to the beast, it doesn't say of the beast, but to the beast, then, and only then did this second beast, this false prophet, empower that image. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So now it's an image to the beast, but now it's an image of the beast. Empowered, such that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship it, would not worship the image of the beast, should be murdered. And he causeth all. Who is he? Is he the image of the beast? Is he the false prophet? Is he the first beast? Is he Satan? I mean, they are all in sync, directly in sync with one another. But I believe it is referring to the false prophet. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's interesting, isn't it? He causeth all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Why isn't it in their right hand or their left hand? You know, but why isn't it just automatically in their foreheads? But he causeth all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man, no woman, no person might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And the number is 666. The number of his name. Could that be the same as the name of blasphemy? Possibly. But this is coming. It is very, very near. And God's word concerning this is absolute. God Almighty does not state in this revelation that this is the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. But he does state categorically that those who worship the beast, those who receive this mark, this name, this number, shall suffer eternal condemnation. Even as surely as the beast will murder all who refuse to receive that. Now, no, it doesn't say that concerning God's punishment right here in this passage. That is yet to come. But it is interesting. These are two all or nothing propositions, if you will. All who fail, who refuse, who resist to worship the beast, to worship the image of the beast, to to receive the mark or the name or the number of the beast in their right hand or their forehead, they shall be murdered. And then we are told that all who receive that mark, that name, that number of the beast, all who worship the image of the beast, all who worship the beast, they shall inherit eternal suffering, eternal damnation. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Master, Savior, Lord, and King, nothing is too difficult for thee. Thou knowest no impossibilities. Thou knowest all things and all people. Heavenly, holy God, take thy power to thee, rule and reign. Accomplish thy will. Fulfill thy good word, thy holy scripture. Thy plans and purposes, promises and prophecies, thine intentions, thy good pleasure, thy callings and giftings. Show thyself faithful to thy people. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming, to serve thee together forever. Be magnified from the border of Israel. Glorify thy holy Son, Jesus, throughout Israel, round and about Israel, round the world. Send forth the captain of thy host and thine angels to Ukraine and save Ukraine. Cut down, cast down, tread down all of the monstrous servants of Satan who are savaging Ukraine. Heavenly Father, Holy God, glorify thy holy Son, Jesus. Lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. Have thy way in us and through us by thy Spirit for thy glory. In Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.